Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. I gotta apologize for being a little while since I've been on the mic here. I had some craziness going on in the household and in the family going on. The day I posted the last episode, my daughter ended up going into the hospital with a abscessed tooth. She had a bad infection that the antibiotics just would not beat down, and she ended up being put in the hospital, left in the hospital for a week in very serious condition at times, and ended up having to have emergency surgery to have the abscessed tooth and the infection removed from her body. And it was a real serious time, and like I said, that happened the day I posted the last podcast. And so she was in the hospital a little over a week there, I think it was. And so it was a real scary time for us there, and we had a lot to deal with. But the good Lord looked out for us, and the good Lord took care of us and healed her and brought her back to 100%. Now you can't tell that anything's wrong with her, or that anything was ever wrong with her. She has a tiny, faint scar on her jawline where they cut her open to get to the infection, and that's it. If you don't know where to look for, you don't even see it, so... That was all. That all came out really well for us, and the good Lord blessed us in that. And thank you everybody that wrote me and I called and I texted about, and they gave me love and support in that. I know several of y'all I talked to over that situation, and I want to say thank you guys for the love and support there. So definitely wanted to give some acknowledgement to God and give some acknowledgement to you guys for all that. And then right afterwards, a few weeks after that happened, my mother-in-law went to hospital with some kidney problems and spent a couple weeks in the hospital there. We still haven't figured out exactly what her kidney problems are. She's looking maybe like she may have to have a procedure done, possibly a biopsy, or even as high, much as a removal of the kidney itself. I'm not really sure. It's still kind of one of those situations to where it's a wait-and-see thing with the doctors. You know how you get with doctors a lot of times, and they're talking about this, that, and everything else, but they got to wait and see until this test comes in or that test comes in. And that's where we're at. So if you have any prayers to spare for my family, I definitely could use it. My mother-in-law's health is definitely in a situation where she could use some prayers. My poor wife went from having her mom in the hospital, I mean having her daughter in a hospital in a fairly serious situation, to having her mom in the hospital in a very fairly serious situation within a few weeks of each other. And I don't take changes to my routine very well. I get knocked out of sorts, and it takes me a while to get back into sorts, if y'all hadn't noticed. After all these years with my sometimes being sporadic a little bit, I get kind of out of my groove, and it takes me a little while to get back into it. So I do apologize for that. But the good Lord is with me, and I know it, and I believe in Him, and I'm trying my best to rest on Him and not rest on myself. And, you know, it's a hard road sometimes, and sometimes it's really difficult to learn to trust God and to let go and let Him be God. And, you know, sometimes I do better than others, and, you know, this definitely where we've been. We've been walking that road. We've been dealing a little bit with these, the uncertainty of the times. And so, but we're not going to try that. We're going to try not to let that get into our way anymore. We're trying to get back into the groove of things, back into the service to the Lord, and doing some podcasts for you guys. So here we go. Today's episode is going to be called The Path of Destruction. In the book of Romans, we see a clearly laid out path of destruction presented in verses 1:18 through 32. These steps have been followed foolishly by many. We have had individual people go down the road. We've had certain segments of societies go down the road. We've had certain societies as a whole go down the road. And even entire nations march this path of doom. Today we're going to learn what comprises this path so that we might keep ourselves, our society, and hopefully even our nation as much as we possibly can from heading down this path of destruction. Let's start out with Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Here we have a declaration of the wrath of God. It is not something that is popular in our world today. People don't want limitations. They don't want to hear that there are things forbidden to them, that they are doing what we want, we can earn God's wrath. We don't want to know that. We are more interested in hearing the fluffy side of things, where everything is peachy keen and there's no wrath to concern ourselves with. But that does not change the reality of the situation. God's wrath is most decidedly real and is something we should be actively working to avoid. Notice, too, that it is not an irrational wrath, but is instead directed towards those which would make absolute sense. God is mad, but his anger is caused by and directed towards the evil of men. He is not angry for no good reason, nor is his anger inspired by something trivial. He is provoked by ungodliness and unrighteousness, with which evil men bring to bear as they attempt to suppress the truth about things, including God's wrath. You know, they're trying to suppress the truth about all things of God. Wrath, the salvation, everything. And his anger is not provoked by something random. It is provoked by something that makes perfect sense. Think about it. We have so many people actively working against God that if these people were not on their anti-God crusade, your Richard Dawkins of the world, your Zeitgeisters, your Jordan Maxwell's, Tessarians, whatever, we would have an easier time spreading the truth. We would have a much easier time spreading the truth. There are so many people out there that are twisting the words and twisting the truth and attacking God and his word that is becoming overwhelming at times. They want to actively take people away from God, sometimes without a viable alternative. They offer despair and feel superior to believers who come with the truth of hope. Think about it. Some of these people, like your Dawkins types, they're not even, okay, you know, you look at your Tessarians, you look at your Jordan Maxwells, your Sitchins, they're talking about this secret knowledge. They're talking about this Illuminati kind of thing sometimes, a lot of times. You have this secret truth, this hidden knowledge, this divine information that they're talking about. So at least they're offering an alternative, a hope in a way of an alternative. But look at Dawkins. Dawkins offering you nothing. He's offering you despair. This is it. It's all over. It's done. What you bear here is what you get. And life sucks, basically, you know, and then you die. I mean, that's what he's basically offering us, you know, and then he feels superior when we come up with the truth of hope. Before we get into any more of these kinds of people, let's look at the next few verses, Romans 1:19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we see in the verse 19 that God has shown it to them. But down here on earth, we don't see God directly. So what does that mean? It means that God is made visible through that which he has created. He is declared by all creation as the Creator. So therefore, he is seen and known through all things. As we observe the natural world, especially in the areas of scientific disciplines, we see that things are incredibly complex. The more we study, the more we realize this to be true. The complexity of creation calls for little more than just random chance to occur. It calls for an intelligent creator. In fact, the complexity that we are becoming aware of in all creation calls for a tremendously intelligent creator to be behind its design. We're learning that not only do we have to have a creator, we have to have a creator that is really on top of things, which of course we know we do have such a creator. Therefore, the power and truth of God is revealed. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." We know God to be the creator of all things, and what is said of his creation. In Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God is revealed through his creation. In verse 20 there, we see that the invisible things are clearly seen by being understood by the things we can see. Okay, there's no excuse not to believe in God because the very reality we are a part of is part of the proof of his existence. There are those that say there's no proof of God. They are mistaken. All things prove the existence of God. Some have no trouble believing in the invisible things of science, but do have trouble believing in the things of God. For all the scientific talk about the universe, the fact that a building requires a builder, anything requires a maker, a design requires a designer, has not been refuted. So how far does that leave us with creation that is not required to have a creator? This would seem to be counter to the very rules of reality in which we live. For there to be a reaction, there must first be an action. Without God, there is no explanation for the initial action. Without the first cause, we have no action to react to, and therefore no existence to have. And the entire system breaks down. Now, you can argue about the first cause thing, but there we have to reach a point to where there is a creator for the creation. Life comes from life. This is a fairly obvious statement, as no non-living thing has ever been noted to have given rise to a living being. We do not see men jumping out of stone, even though, unless you study, you know, Mithraism, and that's, you know, whatever. But we don't see men jumping out of rocks. We don't see iron giving birth to goldfish, nor do we see hydrogen coalescing into a hamster. No, these things come from living creatures of the same type. The rules are well defined on this matter. Not only does living, non-living things not give birth to life, life itself only comes from creatures of the same kind. In other words, dogs have more dogs. You will not see an ear of corn hatch chicken, nor will you see a horse give birth to a dolphin. But yet Darwinism would have us believe that all living things rose up from a non-living source. We believe in the beginning God, and they believe in the beginning dirt. And I mean, if you really get down to it, that's where it comes from. There has to reach a point to where non-living things became alive, and that's something we know to be an impossibility. Except for within the realm of creation with God. Without God, you're not going to get anything. You can ram two rocks together, it ain't ever going to turn into a baby. You can do it from now until the end of time. It ain't going to turn into a baby. It's not going to turn into a puppy dog. It's not going to turn into an eagle. Okay? There's a scientist that performed an experiment to create life in the lab. He set up his experiment, was able to create something akin to living material from his setup. It can be argued that if it was truly living, and the details of his experiment can be argued, let's go for a single point. He declared that he was able to prove that non-living material could spontaneously produce living material. He disproved his own declaration with the experiment. He was the designer. He made the experiment to produce the results that he wanted. He was the creator of the situation that caused him to get the results that he did. He did nothing more than play God. By using his intelligence to set up his experiment, he employed intelligent design. And what he created was nowhere near considerable as a true living creature. It had some backwards amino acids. It had some things out of sequence. It had some things that were not right. It did not exist in a way that was supposed to exist. And it was a big mess. But he claimed that even if you wanted to give him credit for what he did create, he still set it up. Because of all of this, God is beyond evident in our world. His majesty is written in the stars, his beauty and wisdom clear in the works of nature. This means that when it comes down to it, we have no reason whatsoever to deny God. When you face God on that great day and he asks why you didn't believe, you cannot say, "I saw no evidence of your existence." Because he will point out and say that all things point to him and his glory and his grace and his holiness. And he's going to say, how could you not, you know, how could you be so blind? All things speak to me. The stars and the sky shine in my glory. The oceans roar my name, kind of thing. You're not going to have any way or any excuse for not believing in God. Brings us to Romans 1:21, part A. Because that, when they knew God, okay, let's just look at that. When they knew God, it's not that people don't know of God, because to denounce him, you must first know of him. I cannot deny something I am not aware of by the simple fact that I must first know that it exists before I can make a decision on it. To be an atheist, you must at very least be aware that theism exists. To not know does not make you an atheist, it makes you simply ignorant. All right, let's look at the rest of it. It says, they glorified him not as God. So continuing on in the verse, we see that those that knew God and did not acknowledge him as such, they were aware of him, but openly chose not to give him what he is due. And he is due all glory and praises, for he is God Almighty. This is what life is about. It is not about accumulating wealth or wallowing in hedonistic pleasures. It is about glorifying God, serving him, and keeping his commands. Let me throw out one of my favorite verses, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. By keeping the commandments of God, we are acknowledging him as the big boss man and glorifying him through our actions, you know. And I don't mean that as like a wrestler, you know, dressed up as a cop in a wrestling ring, but you know what I mean. He's the big dog. He's the big kahuna. He's the boss. He's in charge. Every other pursuit in life has no meaning beyond these. God gave us everything, so we should give our all back to him in thanks for all of his wonderful gifts. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, "For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are his, so it's only right to glorify him with all our might. Here's another set of verses that supports the idea of us giving back to God with our best. 1 Peter 4:10-11. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Use the gifts you have for God's sake and glory. Whatever you are good at, do for God. Use that gift to his glory and in such a way that all praises go to him. This is what we are to do, and it is not to glorify God, even though we know of him. We're not to ignore God, is what I'm trying to say here. If I just get it spit out here. We're not to ignore God, even though we know of him. We are to glorify God in all things. All right, let's look back to our path to destruction here. Romans 1:21, part C. "Neither were thankful" is the next part. So we come up, they glorified not God, and they weren't thankful. We need to always be thankful to God, no matter what we are doing. If we're struggling to survive, we need to be thankful for what we do have. If we are living in abundance, we need to be thankful for that as well. There is never a reason not to be thankful to God for all things. Those that are against God are never thankful for the wonders in the world, but they are quick to criticize God for what they perceive as bad things. They will not listen to reason or any explanation for these things, but instead hold them like a rabid dog, refusing to thank God for their blessings. They seem to go out of their way to make sure they are not at all grateful or thankful for anything, at least when it comes to God. They might pat themselves on the back, but they never whisper a word to God's glory. Let's look at part D of Romans 1:21. "But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." They are vain in their thinking because they are working from a flawed assumption that God is not real or that God should not be glorified. When you deny God, you are denying the very basic element that is related to all existence. Everything you think of past this is based on a faulty assumption and is going to fall apart. This is when we are seeing a resurgence in the so-called alien gospel, in which aliens supposedly seeded Earth with life. This, of course, begs the question, where did the aliens come from? But no one seems to answer that, or seems to even care about that, because they are working from the flawed assumption that aliens, and not God, created humanity, or possibly even the world. So you see, you start getting into all these flawed assumptions, and you don't make any sense. And anybody sitting outside the situation can see it doesn't make sense because you're taking off from a broken base. And don't even get me started about all the foolishness that seems to be sprouting up in cosmic studies, as it seems to that new ideas are getting more and more ridiculous as they attempt to explain away God and from the creation process. It is impossible to describe away the Creator from his creation. By doing so, they allow their hearts to become darkened. You know, you have so many of these people saying, oh, the infinite universes, or the loop universes thing, static state universe, and wheelchair man come out and said the other day that we don't need God because the universe is self-sustaining and self-creating. And it's like, why can't you just realize that you're calling the universe God? And just realize there's something a little bit bigger than the universe that created the universe? I mean, you're on the right path, man. You're on the right path of accepting and having faith. You're just having it one step too short. You need to take one more step back and see, oh, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. oh, okay, well, God's the one we need to have this faith in. You know, I mean, you just you see it a lot of times going on with all these people, and it's just crazy. Okay, next up we have the verse that basically inspired me to start this podcast in the first place. This whole multi-year voyage of smart faith that we have started from this one Bible verse. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, how many times has this happened? The other day, a world-famous scientist came out and announced that God was redundant because spontaneous creation, that's what I was just mentioning there. Dawkins came out and said it. He fails to explain how spontaneous creation limits itself to just cosmic creation and fails to manifest in other ways into our reality. In other words, I have never heard a car materialize in my garage. I've never seen a car materialize in my garage, and I have not had a garage spontaneously appear attached to my house either. I don't even have a garage, and it's never miraculously shown up. You know, it's like I can't even get a can of Coke to miraculously appear on my desk, let alone an entire universe, right? I mean, come on. People like this scientist and those like him are so very intelligent that they believe when something is so... They realize when something is foolish, it doesn't kick in for them. I think a lot of times they think, oh, if we just think on a bigger scale, well then it works. But then you try to break it down. You say, listen, man, you're just talking about basic stuff here, and they can't get it. You know, a lot of times I've heard in my life I've had I live down south, and I've had regular folks in my family, I guess you could say. One side of my family's real down-home kind of folk, and they always kind of razzed me a little bit for, you know, being the book smart one, and always kind of told me that, you know, we always got picked on about this whole idea that the smarter you are, the dumber you are, the smarter you are, the dumber you is, kind of thing, I think is how they put it. And it's because the smarter you are, is the easier it is to be taken in by big ideas sometimes. And lose complete grounding in common sense. And a lot of times in my life and experience, it's been true. It's real easy to get sucked off into these creative ideas and these grandiose thoughts and kind of lose your grounding. You know, and I see that a lot. And you see that a lot, especially in science. Science has lots of people with their head in the clouds that need to get their feet back on the ground and realize the truth is nowhere near as complicated as they're trying to make it. I mean, the truth of it is maybe extremely more complicated than we can ever imagine how God did what he did, but the basics of the operation of it isn't. God did it. I mean, period. We can accept on a very basic scale that we have a creator, which is God Almighty. You know? For example, you think about it. For example, they would say it's impossible for a tornado to sweep through a junkyard full of aircraft parts and produce a fully functional 747, but they have no trouble believing that two random particles rammed into each other and produced something as complex as DNA, which is probably much more complicated than 747, if I understand it right. As science has advanced through the years, we are learning that these things that were once thought to be simple are in fact extremely complicated. So they are professing themselves to be wise in things, but yet fail to be able to adequately explain the most simple of the things, such as the beginnings of life, or the beginnings of the reality in which we live. They proclaim wisdom, but fail to recognize the truth about he who is wisest of all, and that's God. In the beginning, God. Until they realize this truth, they will utter nothing beyond foolishness, and that's the truth about it. Romans 1:23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This screams to me of humanism. This also screams to those that worship a planet above God. There are groups of these people in this world that have exchanged a love for God for a love of beasts. I will not mention names, but there's a group of environmentalists that have a leader that openly declares his atheistic beliefs on television, if that makes any difference. But yet he says he will give his life for a certain marine creature he's trying to protect. That is changing the glory that we should give God for that of beasts, and it's idolatry in its truest form. You know, God doesn't exist, but I will die for this particular creature that I'm trying to protect. That is changing the glory we should be giving to God for the idolatry of nature worship. Anything that you put above God is idolatry, for God is to be first in our lives. This is why humanism is so dangerous, because it basically is the worship of man over all else, including God. Man cannot and must not come before God. We are made to his glory, not him for ours, no matter what some atheists might tell you. In our world today, we are also experiencing an explosion of Gaia worship, or environmentalism to the point of being a religion. We've seen examples like the environmentalists I was just talking about, along with the examples like the Georgia Guidestones. We have people actively advocating eugenics and calling for a reduction in world population somewhere in the neighborhood of 90%, or if not more. This means over 5 billion people would have to die. This is clearly the work of those that would stand against God. Jesus healed those with infirmities. He did not kill them. The entire idea of eugenics is offensive. Who are we to play God and decide who lives and who dies? Will God not take those he wants in his own good time? We should not and cannot forcibly murder those we deem imperfect just because they don't fit in a certain perception. And I am affected by this. I will admit my bias in this particular situation. Not only do I suffer from a disorder that would probably would have caused, some people consider it would be eugenics worthy. I was deformed as a child. I got lucky and I was able to, have a surgery done to my knees that caused me to grow and become normal. But as a small child, until the ages of about 14 to 15 years old, I had a knee problem to where my legs were all twisted and not right. And I was deformed, and a lot of people, you know, if I would have lived in Hitler's Germany, they would have killed me. You know, and not only that, do I have those particular experiences myself going on. My sister is extremely pigeon-toed, which some people consider a deformity, and has a special needs daughter. I had two special needs children. One is passed on, and, is with the ward now, but she has another special needs daughter that is still here that is autistic. That a lot of people say, well, you know, that's a quality of life issue and all that. And who are you to say what her quality of life is? When God wants her home, he'll come get her. You know, that is just the way I see about it. You know, and until then, you know, we should love her and care for her and do what we can for her. You know, I mean, it's like I said, something that kind of touches my heart. So. Alright, getting off eugenics and all that, my point is that there's a value to be had in our lives, and that value should glorify God as we are His when we come down to it. Alright, let's move on. Next up is Romans 1:24. Wherefore God has also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. These people have rejected God, so He's left them to their own devices, so to speak, and they dishonor themselves with their sins. Anytime you separate man from God, you will see man falling into sin and doing things he shouldn't. Without God's guidance and wisdom, we end up in some very dark places. There might be some of you that out there that say, but to me, Joe, I'm not religious, and I'm having a great time in my life, and everything's going well for me, and God's not striking me down. So you must be wrong about man needing God's guidance. And I would say to you that you are foolish. If you want to poison a dog, you don't give him straight arsenic. You get a big old steak, and you put a little bit of poison in the middle of it. The dog will come along, eat the steak, and walk away thinking he's had an awesome meal and will be contented. Only later does he realize that something is wrong and that his life is lost. The best poisons are 99% good food and 1% poison. If you think you're going well and that you don't need God, then you're still eating your steak. You're still being poisoned slowly. The time will come when you will realize that your life is required and that you've done it all wrong, and that your lifestyle might have been fun, but it was tainted by the lack of God, that it was tainted by hedonistic sin, that it was tainted by selfishness and greed and gluttony and lust and anger and wrath and all those things. When this happens, it will be too late and the jig will be up. There is nothing you'll be able to do to fix the situation. The window where you can take the antidote to the poison hat will have come and gone, and there will be no further hope for you. You see, we all start eating that steak. We all start eating it. But some of us realize this and go get the antidote, which is Christ. Stop eating the antidote and stop eating and take the antidote and you will survive. Come to Christ, and that's where it gets better. That's where it changes. The point is that when man doesn't have God, he ends up in sin. There's a quote that really hits home, though I'm not sure who actually said it. Regardless, it goes like this. If we teach our young people that they are nothing but animals, over millions of years they evolved from the lower primates, we shouldn't be surprised when they begin to live like animals. This is quite true, and if we believe the world around us and ignore God, then why should we act any better than any other animal? We're nothing more than a product of evolution the same as them, so what makes us special? If you take to the mindset you don't need or want God, he's not going to force himself on you in this life. He's going to let you do what you want. Make no mistake, though, there is a day when he will bring you to judgment, and there will be no denying him in any manner, and you will have to answer for those things that you chose to do. Romans 1:26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up unto the vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust towards one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense for their error which was meet. Here we see that after God gives these people up, they turn to complete debauchery. The women and the men both begin to wallow in sexual sins and depraved behaviors. On doing so, they open themselves up to the repercussions that such behavior brings. Let me tell you, you're not likely to get a sexually transmitted disease if you follow God's rules on sexuality. If you wantonly sleep with everyone that catches your fancy, you're going to be in serious risk of catching something horrible or even fatal. Obey God and live, or immerse yourself in sin and gamble with your life and with your immortal soul. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word convenient here seems means proper or good, or in other words, they did things that were shameful and not proper. Next up is a list of some of those things that God gave them over to doing. Romans 1:29 through 1:32 here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It is easy to see the falling away in the verses we talked about today. The first step is not glorifying God as God and not being thankful. The second step is becoming vain in thought. The third step is engaging in idolatry by propping other things up in place reserved for God. The fourth step is to engage in wickedness and immoral behavior. Man is not by his nature and totally depraved, but he can easily become that way if not brought into check. Let us take heed that the first step so that we might not avoid going down the path of destruction. Let us glorify God in all things. Keep God foremost in your mind. Let us always pray and show God our gratitude for all the things he does for us. When we do this, we will be much more likely to be on the proper path, and that will keep us from destruction. All praises and glory to be to God Almighty in the highest. And I thank all of y'all for Hank coming, for giving me for listening and coming back around, and I promise that I'll get back on my game a little better and get used to doing these podcasts, and hopefully the next one will be even, you know, get the quality back up there again, and we can get back to rolling down the road. And I love you guys, and I thank you all for the prayers, and keep sending them if you have a chance. And until next time, my friends, God bless.